Okay, we're holding by differences, right? So holding by difference. Difference number 3. That sound right? Okay. Let's go. Maybe number 4, whatever number it is. Okay. Okay. But at some point in your life, you're going to have a boss. And you're working with somebody. Right? The Jews like to hit, not they like to own their own business, because this way they don't have to answer anybody. But the Maisa, you're going to work for somebody. Once you're in a situation where you are working for somebody, you're going to feel a very, very funny element of the relationship. It might actually be somebody you're very friendly with, etc. But if he's the boss and you're an employee, it's uncomfortable. There's a certain, like, you're totally in that person. So let's say, for example, like, you know, he makes a joke. You know, about something you did. And he's really only just, you know, thinks it's totally funny and he has no problem, etc. But you're an employee, so what are you going to think? He's making a joke. Something on his mind. Like, the nature of the relationship is, means you're going to read more into what's happening than is real. You're going to worry about it, etc. Because he's in control, you feel some element of your, you know, being able to do whatever you want. Your independence is being affected. It's a second point. A woman feels like that vis-a-vis a husband. It's a relationship of a captain and a first mate. First mate is answerable to the captain. So, I happen to be I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of people making jokes at their wife's expense, teasing their wife. Because even though you just made it as a joke and you really didn't mean anything and it's nothing, etc., she's going to take it as something, or has the potential of taking it as something, and it's not worth it. Somebody told me like a, like he made a comment, like, you know, told me like a joke. He says it was about something about supper. It took him weeks to convince him that he liked her food. And he just totally meant it as a joke, but she took it seriously. And that, and what he was like, found it strange. So, Rav Chaim Friedlander in his Kuntres says this in the Kuntres. He says in the Kuntres, it's a relationship of a master and an employer and employee, a captain and a first mate. You're losing your independence. You're dependent on somebody else. It's an uncomfortable place. You have a woman, a very accomplished woman, a very intelligent woman, etc. It's an uncomfortable place to be to a certain extent, and you can, you have to respect that. So that means two things: the sensitivity issue. The second thing is you have to give her independence back. You have to give her space back, to some extent. So she has a right. She has a right to her private life. She has her friends still. She has her relationship still. You know, there's no exclusivity happening over here. You should feel very happy that she still has that. You want to help her maintain that. It's interesting. It was a very beautiful thing when I got married. So Baruch Hashem, I told my shir that I didn't ask for support. He offered some support. You know, he's going to send me a check every month. He said, "Daddy, whatever you, you know, if you can't afford, please don't send. You know, whatever you can do, appreciate it." He says, but one thing he says he wants it to. He says he's paying the phone bill. He says, this way my wife will feel comfortable calling whenever she needs to call. In those days, you know, phone bills were expensive because it was not unlimited. There's nothing like unlimited calling in those days. A long distance call was a long distance call. So she needs to call a friend, she needs to call family, she needs to feel comfortable. He's paying the phone bill. So she never stares up to be in touch with anybody she needs to be in touch with. And it's a very beautiful point. And I really appreciated it. Because I couldn't afford it. My Carlo paycheck. My Carlo paycheck, which was, when I got married, it was 13 weeks behind. So I got my first paycheck. I was put into the cheshbon, and 3 months later, I saw my first paycheck. Sporadically, paychecks came. You know, it was like, yeah. Okay. So be aware of this, Lakuta. I'm going to give you 3 more differences, and then we're going to go back to talk about solar systems some more. Okay. Chazal say, what's the difference between man and women? Men are made from offer. This is Gemara Nida, end of the third parak, and women are made from etzem. So that means women are harder than men. So they're harder than men. It's kasha to mefayas a woman. It's much easier to mefayas a man. So.
Sorry, what was it? Men are made from what?
Offer.
Yeah, and women are
made from etzem.
Etzem is bones?
Bones. Right, so bones are hard.
Harder than sand. Well, okay, I guess.
Offer is nice, like soft dirt. Earth.
Okay, yeah,
okay. Right. Offer made out of, right, woman is made out of bones. So Chazal said that women are kasha lefayas. They're difficult to appease them. There's many, many jokes about being on the, you know, the other side of a wrath of a woman. You do not want to be on the other side of a wrath of a woman. But that would mean, it would mean something else. It's a fascinating thing. There's a Zohar that says that men are midas rachamim and women are midas adin.
Men are midas rachamim?
Yeah, women are midas adin. Okay, that sounds interesting, right? Because we're used to the opposite. Okay, so you're some, I don't know how many of you have ever like imbibed in watching the different types of shows which exist, media which is out there. Yeah. But there's always these jokes about a woman's memory, about the time that you insulted her. Right? So a man will upset his wife, and he'll apologize. She'll accept the apology, and she won't forget. She'll accept the apology, but it happened. So 5 years later, you know, it's just, you keep doing this to me. What? Like 5 years ago, you did this to me already once. And they're like, I don't believe that she remembers. It's like, you know, I don't remember what happened 3 days ago, you know. Right? That's what Solomon says, kasha lefayas. She'll be moichel, but it's not erased. And that's what there's no, midas adin, there's no erasure. You might, the Russian might wait, you know, you give time, you know, but there's no erasure, midas adin. It's there. It's waiting. Right? So that's what desire means. Men, I mean, I don't know all men, but many men, chas de Hashem, are so tzifloigan that it made us remember what din, what you deserve. I have no idea, whatever, I forgot. Right? I mean, I can speak for myself, you know. I'm very good at that. Okay. Now, so, I want to address this nakuda a little bit, to talk about this nakuda of the kasha lefayas. So the first solution is just like, don't mess up to start with. But you're always going to mess up. Okay? And that's life. That is part of the process, is learning. So, you know, there's something in the world called a trust fund. So in the financial sense, there's something called a trust fund. And marriage is also a trust fund. You're going to develop a fund that she trusts you. Right? So the more times that you are aware of her and sensitive to her and understanding of her, the more she trusts you that you really get her. So then, when you do something off, she's more inclined to down the chavschus, that probably there's a good reason why you did it, not because you're just downward being insensitive to her feelings. So you're going to be putting a lot of deposits into your trust fund and try to minimize the withdrawals. Okay. Now, I want to tell you that it's not perfect. Even when you're going to have the best trust fund in the world, right, a withdrawal is a withdrawal. And it's going to, right? Let's go back to this. I want to take this thought and move it to a different thought, which is called Dalach Havschus. Interestingly enough, we think Dalach Havschus that the, you know, the person, Dalach Havschus is necessary for relationship. It's integral for relationship. Right? Everybody means well. Everybody really cares. They get something's wrong. If I try and look at what the person did in a positive light, it just removes a lot of the tension. I didn't intentionally try and do this. I wanted to do the right thing. This is the way I come. You know, I'm working on it. The more you can figure that there probably is more to the story, and from that vantage point, there's more to the story, it's not as big of an envelope as helpful. Now, the challenge with that, you know, the men's side, down, you know, she didn't take care of something, she didn't do something, she did something, you know, there's probably more reason why she didn't do it, she was upset. You know, there's more, always more, you're seeing the tip of an iceberg. The tip looks bad, maybe there's more to the story, and then it's not so bad. Trying to explain to a woman why she should don you lechavskus, because really there's more to the story, usually doesn't work. Because right now there's an obla here in front of us. There's your minas adin. Like, right now, we have, you did something wrong. Well, the reason why I did it is because, that was my fault. Right or wrong, right now, was something wrong done. So we need to address that. She wants to hear, first and foremost, that you're going to address what you did wrong, not excuse why you did it. Then, at some undisclaimed time, you may have success. Right? When you're having a conversation which is not in the context of it, you can put out to her, this is an area which you feel like you're still learning, and you're getting, you know, and if she wants to help you along the process, and, you know, help her, you can make it clear to her what exactly expectations are, etc. That's fine. It sounds, at first glance, to some women, most women go through a stage, many women, not all of them, where they wake up one day and said, you know what, men don't get it. So instead of being frustrated with my man who doesn't get it, I'd either just give up of him or getting it, or tell him what I want. Right? So some women figure that out themselves. Many women don't. And then if you offer it to them, so first, like, when you can't figure me out, you don't love me if you can't figure me out, because, like, you spoke about women in relationship-oriented beatings, and they get each other without explaining it. It's wonderful to listen to, like, the two women talking, like, you know, have a conversation. What are you doing tonight? Yeah, I also want to go to the mall. Like, huh? Like, how did you figure out that she wanted to go to the mall from, what are you doing tonight? Well, there's a sale. I know she likes this type of clothes. And there's a sale on this type of clothing. And the only reason why she doesn't go out is because she can't go out at night. She called me up and means she must be available tonight. So she asked what I'm doing. I mean, she wants to go to the mall. Right? Because what else would you want? Right? You know, like, of course, you know. Right? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, really? Yeah, I hear. You know, yeah. Women are great with the, you know, like, half sentences. You know, like, the bell says the joke. It says, don't get me a present means...
Give me a present,
right? I don't want anything means.
I want something.
Good. So that you know, right? Right. So there's that's two of the language you know, translations. There's many of them, right? But getting back to over here, right? Offering to say, you know, I got it wrong. I really want to work on it. I'm looking for help. It's not at one point the woman's like, you know, I feel bad. You know, what do you mean? You don't care for yourself? One woman says, okay. Yeah, that's great. I'll just explain it to him next time. This way I won't have to go through this. So you're a little bit further into the marriage. That's usually a safe place to go. Okay.
What does that mean? A little further into the marriage.
How long? You have to figure it out. It's not clear. Okay.
Now, that means you don't work anything now?
What? So this point of asking her to tell you.
Wait,
but she's looking forward to marrying somebody who can figure it out himself and not need to be told. Because that's what her friends do to her. Right? And understand her and emote with her needs, intuit the issues. And all of a sudden the guy comes and goes, I'm not going to get it. Please tell it to me. It's going to make her sad. At some point in life she realizes, you know what? I'm sad anyway. Might as well try a different approach. I'm overstating it.
You're pretty much saying that they don't want to say things straight up. They don't like to be straight up. They just want.
Okay, that's the next one.
That's pretty much what Rebbe's saying right now. That like
that's where we're going. Okay, so the next difference is verbal versus nonverbal. Okay, and this actually has a steer in it. Okay. So women have this. On one side, women do not need to talk. They get each other without too much talking.
So what do they do that for?
On the other side is women talk. Okay? So it's fascinating. Like, women have both sides. Okay? Women touch through talking. That is a way to wait. There is, it's because you touch a woman through talking to her. For a woman, sitting down and having a conversation with her, you know, has the same level of connection as physical touch. For a man, it's not like that. So it means women need to be spoken to. That's on one end. So they're very verbal in that sense. On the other hand, women talk in half sentences. Because they get each other so quickly, they don't need to say all the details out. That's fascinating. Women are interesting. Okay. Now.
What was the last sentence? Women don't talk in such...
Women do not need to, when they talk to each other, they want you to figure them out. They want you to intuit them. They want you to emote with them. They want you to connect to them. So why do I have to explain everything to you? If you really love me and care about me, you would understand me. So I don't want to have to expel it all out. It means you don't care about me and love me. That's how they're going to read it. I care about your love very much. I just can't figure you out. They don't get that. Eventually they get it, you know. Okay. Hopefully you didn't do too bad. Okay. Now.
But are they hearing this also?
Like, what are they telling them that we don't get it?
They need also something.
You know, it's a good question. Some college teachers do this. Some don't. I'm not aware that there's programs out there which do this directly to women. There are some premarital counseling sessions that some rabbanim and push couples to do, which help this issue. Okay. So let's talk about this. A woman had a hard day. She came home and she had a hard day. Right? So we touched on this a little, I told you there's going to be overlap. She wants you to empathize with her day. She just needs to talk about it. Talking about it is touching. She wants to, you know, it was such a hard day. Beryl did this and Yaakov did that. And the laundry didn't work out. And then, you know, Sprintz's, you know, Mara called. And she wants to talk about her day. She doesn't need any solution. She just wants to talk. Okay, number one. Now let's go back to let's say in the context of she's upset about something with you, right? So, what do most men do when they feel an intense pressure coming at them? Because women have a strong emotion.
Maybe defend themselves.
Defend themselves.
Shut them out.
Yeah.
Say sorry.
Well, most men do. I don't think they say sorry, but anyway, they should. But
take a drink.
they close into themselves. When a person feels strong, intense emotion coming at him, they step backwards. Remember, a woman feels things. She doesn't deal with them with logic. So she says something strong to her husband, and he's not responding. Concretely, what does she think is happening?
He doesn't love her.
He's ignoring her. Doesn't love, right? She doesn't feel response. She doesn't feel response. She can't touch the response. So what does she do? She talks more intensely.
So then it creates a cycle.
So what does the man do? He steps back even further.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So what does the woman do? She gets more intense. Right?
Oh my gosh.
Okay?
I'm so scared.
So So she's, in this sense, the man, the woman is much more verbal than the man, right? So you need to make sure that you're giving feedback, that you heard what she said, you care about what she said, you're processing what she said, and there's nothing wrong with saying, I love you very much, I really feel bad what just happened, give me a moment to process your feelings, I just want to absorb them before I respond and think, you know, you can say that, but give verbal feedback, give clear feedback to what's happening. Okay. Now, move on to the next difference, which, again, these overlap to some extent. What is the woman's view? She wants to picture her marriage. This goes back to solar systems a little bit, right? Her dream marriage is, here's the man, here's the woman, and here's marriage. They merged into one. Venn diagram. Right. Man's view of marriage. Here's a man, and here's marriage. Right? Good Venn diagram. That was horrible handwriting. But, right? He has his space, she has her space, and there's an overlap. Right? So, that's back to your solar system issue. Like, her dream is this phenomenally deep, intense connection with, like there's no space. So that means the woman's picture of the relationship is different than the man's picture of the relationship. You can imagine that might lead to some misunderstandings along the way.
Wait, so is it normal for her to give you very little space because of that dream? And, like, it gets really overwhelming? Or?
Well, what happens, a few things happen. She will want to share her feelings. This is a horrible problem that which exists in the world of divorce, that women are much more vulnerable in the divorce area than men, because women have shared all of their private things with their husband, and all of their emotions, and all of their deficiencies. Women are totally comfortable telling her husband how bad she did today raising with the kids. A husband will never tell his wife how bad he did with the kids. Never. Was able. So they go to court. She says, she's admitted, she yelled at the kids, she's hit them, blah, 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 blah. I never, she can't say back, well, my husband, because he didn't admit it,
Wow.
It's a problem. Because women, because they see the relationship as being so close, you can share everything. Men want private space. Right? They're not sharing everything. And women sometimes, the man might feel pressured that he's being asked to share more than he is comfortable sharing, or before he's ready to share it. So a person has to be work about that, deal with that. Let's go back to solar systems. Okay, so the truth is that men are not right. Rabbi Akiva said a fascinating thing. He said to his Talmidim, when his wife came, right, after he had all these Talmidim, and Sachin's wife comes, they know who she was, he says, Shali, Mishalachem, Mishalach. Reality is, it's all her. A man who does well with his wife, he's treated his wife properly, and he helps him on healthy individuals, and they treat she will give him back such strength that the reason why he's successful in his other endeavors is because of his wife. So yes, he has other endeavors, he has other focuses. But the bad sim, she's a shutter for them as well. So I'll give you an interesting story. So there was a guy in he was about Shuva, and she was an FFB. They got married. And let's say, from her level, she was here when they got married, and he was like here. He's a Belchuba, so what happens? And one day, he's here, and she's here. The guy's a little successful lawyer. He says, I never had a chance on the yeshiva. I'm going to cut back to my clients. I'm going to spend mornings in yeshiva till 1 o'clock. cut some of his clients. Right, starts going to yeshiva every morning, davening yeshiva, eating breakfast yeshiva, learning for Seder, going to shiur. And for his wife, it's like, she's not from that world, modern background. Like, you know, her husband looks getting a, you know, right? And she's having some discomfort with what he's doing. So he asked me my advice. So I asked him, like, when you come home on the day, what does your wife ask? She says, she asked you how your day in yeshiva was. Or you come home, you know, lunchtime, whatever it is, you know. And so what do you tell her? You know, I said, she doesn't really understand the role of yeshiva, so I don't want to talk about it too much. So, okay. So let's understand her perception, what she's reading. She's reading the following. My husband has an exclusive men's club that he goes to every day for 6 hours. Leaves the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, comes home at 2 o'clock, right? He's there for 7 hours a day. When I come home, I ask him what's happened over there, and he says, none of your business. That's what she's hearing. Because you're not sharing with her. I said, well, what am I supposed to share with her? I said, listen, your job is tomorrow, is you come to the yeshiva, by the breakfast table, there's a conversation. I want you to memorize that conversation. And when you go home, you go home, you know, your wife says, you know, we had an interesting conversation about breakfast, and shared a conversation. So, he says, that's your homework for the next week. And I was a young man in Carlo, and this is an accomplished lawyer, you know, and I'm telling him this, you know. Comes back to him, he says, it works like a charm. Now explain it to me. He says, you made her feel that she's part of your life, even when you're in the other part of your life, and you want to share what's going on with all parts of your life, you want to share with her. So she feels that you're taking her with you wherever you go. So she doesn't see it, that there's a competition anymore. And he said, wow, that was so easy. I said, yeah. So she would be in the office. There's certain things you shouldn't be sharing, you know. You know, the fights that were going on, you know, etc. Because, you know, Chabad Chaim is not a big advocate. She'll race you on to keep fighting with the guy. Right? Because she worried about her, she cares about her husband's covet. But there's a lot you can share. Like, what's new, you know, there's a lot you can share. But the reason why you're able to do it is if you really do look at it, is she is your shutev. Because you have your home, which is your castle, which you feel comfortable there, you're able to deal with all those times you go out into the world. So the morale says that the woman's job is to be the Shemara Sabayas. Her job is to create the atmosphere in the home, which is the healthy atmosphere. And then the man's job is to go out and expand the horizons of the bias. Bring it higher. Keep growing. The woman's job is to make sure it doesn't fall down. That's why man's mitzvah and asay, woman's mitzvah and lois asays. Don't go anywhere. Don't step out of bounds. Stay safe. Man's job is, okay, move it forward. Move it forward. Move it forward. That's the morale, understand the difference between the two. So she is your partner, because you can't move forward if you don't have there's no army which is successful if they don't make sure whatever they've conquered is being held, the territory is being held onto. You're not going to be able to successful whatever you do if you don't have a good relationship going on at home and your wife isn't there for you, etc. And if she is, you will be successful in many areas. So she is your shutev. So then, you know, you'd want to share with your shutev what you can. I can't share every little detail of my shutev. So that puts a spin on the relationship, which allows you, you know, yes, you have your own private spaces, and they're your private spaces, but they're still in some way connected to your wife. Okay, I want to go back. The Dan Lechav Sus Lekura. I call it don't test. Okay. There's interesting Shalom Bayis Sefer. Which he suggests that women, we used to call it the following. I'll give it we used to call it the 325 blues. Okay? 325 blues. Carolyn tells the cuddling light had to be back at 3:30. Second set was at 3:30 until 7:30. 7:05, and then there's a minute for Mara, right? Because you get home like 7:30. So you'd be home for lunchtime. At 3:25, you have to go to Seder. It's time to go to Seder. It's a 5-minute drive, whatever. And all of a sudden, she would start getting sad. And you'd be left with this horrible dilemma. Like, I gotta go to Seder. My wife's sad. Do I leave her? You go to Seder? She'll feel horrible. If I stay home, she'll feel like, oh, hey, she's sharing my learning. She'll feel horrible. What do I do? But the question is, why is it happening now? You were like happy the whole Ben and Storm, you were happy together. Like, why now? So his theory is that she's testing. Who do you really love more? You're learning or me? Right? Are you going to leave me crying by the door or not? That's his theory. It's subconscious. He suggests that she's testing. I think the problem is, it's hard to, like, it's written by a man, so you can't prove it. They'd have to ask the women, and they're not going to tell. I think what's happening is a solar system issue. You know, I would have to picture, you know, Yaakov is leaving Oyel Rachel to go to Oyel Leah. Right? Rachel says, that's so nice. I'll see you later, dear. I love you. Have a good time with Leah. Right? Really? You know, like, no. Right? He's going to say, like, you know, she's going to be sad. Right? So I'm not suggesting how to deal with two wives. I'm not. No. I told you my story about my chaver in yeshiva, right? Didn't I tell you the story? It's a wild story. Okay, tell you a wild story. So I had a chaver in yeshiva, an Iranian chaver. And at one point he was dating one of my wife's closest friends. And after the third date, she called my wife up and she says, his father has two wives. I'm not marrying somebody whose father had two wives. His father had two wives. You know, she's like, oh. And my wife's like, what? You know, she says, Elliot, do you know that his father's wife? Says, oh. He had a brother. They never got along. And also I realized, why? They're two of her mothers. And mamas, they never got along. So the next day I went up to Avraham and says, like, is your brother so-and-so? Yeah, he's from a different mother. He says, Eli, when Chazal say women are tsaris, it's true. It's mama tsaris each other. It says, and it goes down to the kids. I will never, ever contemplate. His father was a chacham. They were having two wives. Well, anyway, she didn't go out with him again. Anyway, so it's like, all right, let me try it one more time. It didn't work out, but so fine. But, you know, but so I can't deal with the two wives issue. But the fact that there are other interests in your life, right? So some men, you know, the standard American joke, like, you know, the husband has his football friends and his football thing, you know, like, you know, his wife speaking to him, like, Harvey, I'm talking to you! Yeah, what's another game? Like, you know, like, you know, like, without that message, I have two wives. I have two wives. I have my football, you know, thing. That's one wife. Your other wife, like, go away. You know. So we, but that's our wonderful American, you know, joke, right? You know, but that's not our reality. Our reality is that we understand that the strength that a woman brings, because I'll say that the strength of a man is his wife. Ish the son of Gomer, because I'll say the woman acts as a protective wall around the man. So whatever you're going to accomplish is because of her. Right? So when she's leaving the 3:30, the correct, there's only answer, so what's the right answer? So whatever you do, you're doing the wrong answer. So what's the answer? The answer is, if you've given her the message that you miss her, you will miss her terribly, but you appreciate so much the fact that she's willing to let you go to learn, because. And you're only able to be successful in your learning because the fact that she's there at home waiting for you. And you appreciate that so much. Right? She won't have 3:25 blues.
Meaning that's when you give her that message? Or if that's the message you give her on a daily basis throughout the day, then she won't have those blues?
You got the second one.
Okay.
You got it.
Wait, he said the second one?
The second one. Okay. So getting back to the testing point, he suggests the testing. So, you know, there's days when you wonder, did, you know, are we doing okay? We're not doing okay. So you know what? You're doing fine. Trust the relationship. You committed the relationship. You're in a relationship. There's ups and there's down, and that's normal. The best way to describe, you know, you ever saw these you know, right now the stock market is going up a little bit, but, you know, you ever saw stock market charts? Mm-hmm. Right? They look like this, right? Right? Really?
No, it's a
shop. It looks like an EKG, right?
Right.
That's marriage. Right? Huh. But the goal is that you started here and you'll end here. But it's not, it doesn't go like this. Doesn't go like this. Doesn't go like this. It goes like this. You end up higher than you were when you started.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? So, you know, there's a fascinating study. Fascinating study that, you know, the people who are involved in the world of finance will tell you that if any stock, if a person bought stock in a U.S. company, corporation, for the anywhere in the year 1900 and the year 2000, and held the stock for 10 years, unless the company went totally bankrupt, and, you know, his stock will be more valuable after 10 years than it was when it started. Any 10 years, including the depression, it goes up and it goes down, it goes high up and it goes way down, but at the end of the day, you hold on to it, it'll be higher after a period of time. That's our goal. That's our goal. Our goal isn't that it's going to be this nice, smooth ride. All right? Our goal is to try and smooth out. It shouldn't look like this. It should look more like this. Right? Meanwhile, you're climbing higher. Okay. Okay. Now, let's talk about some of the things over here. Is that too much for you guys to handle one shot? It's probably enough for a day. Okay. So what I want to do next, what I'll do next time, is what's known as AAA. Okay? AAA, you ever hear of AAA?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Right. So there's a AAA in marriage also. Okay.
Roadside assistance.
What?
Roadside assistance.
This is marriage assistance. Okay. Then we have some.
Do they replace
broken legs? Broken legs and arms.
Oh. Take her into the shop. Just
oh, I said that. No, my Rebbe told me to say that.
Don't you dare. unless there was something wrong, it was bad. Then you can. Then, you know. Okay. So that's next session. Then we'll do the Aitzes. It's different Aitzes. I want to. So you guys, give me.